Better than this, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this shit.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Wednesday edition of the show. It is time to kick off our March mock draft, which comes a little later in the month, but that's because we wanted the big wave of free agency to be behind us and really get a look at what this landscape of the 2019 NFL draft can look like. Kyle, welcome to the show.
It's mock time, sir. I'm fired up because every time we do one of these, A, we get fairly good feedback from the listeners. It's not like a Twitter mentions, right, where it's all hellfire and brimstone. There's actually positive feedback and helpful feedback as far as, you know, things that as we're finishing up our draft evaluations and the free agency period is staying in flux. You know, it's kind of an information gathering period all around, and by the time we hit the draft itself, like, we feel like we've got a really good vibe on these teams. But right now, there's just so much going on that, you know, you guys can be really helpful to us with the feedback that you give us for your picks.
Yeah, that has been really good. That's a nice silver lining there. I haven't thought of that. Do you want to do this predictive or what we would do?
Oh, we've been doing
predictive. And, I mean, those are two totally different conversations. I kind of like the predictive way, but I'm open. I'm open to suggestions here.
Why don't we do this? It's the month before the draft, right?
Yep.
Let's do predictive now. When the calendar flips to April, we should be done our film reports, right? For all the players.
Yeah. No. But yeah, like, the ones that matter, yeah.
Yes. So why don't in April we do a what would we do? And then like the week of the draft, we'll do like one super show where we do, or we talk through our predictive mocks that are going to be in for Huddle Report.
Okay. I like it. So this one is predictive. So do not get mad at us. We're just predicting, just making predictions, guessing.
And the record states that we have made no preparations for this whatsoever.
Oh, never. Of course not. We have a blank canvas. We have the mock draft machine for draftnetwork.com loaded up. It is blank. And Kyle and I are going to work through these every other pick live on the spot for you. So we don't know how this is going to go. So there could be some fun surprises along the way.
Now, here's my dilemma.
All right.
Every single time that we've done this, you've done odds to pick for Buffalo.
Yep.
I want odds.
No. Oh, then I get to pick for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Okay. It's predictive.
But I want odds. It's predictive.
Let's see how well I've trained you about the Bills' preferences.
We can put our fanalist hats on for a while and be objective. And I think that's fair, right?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I'm ready.
Are you worried about me?
No. I'm glad I don't have to make the first pick. That's what I'm glad about. That was my silver lining
off
in my head.
Pressure's off. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I get to just kind of coast. I'm good.
Okay. Arizona Cardinals on the clock. Dun, 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 dun. I have to do the jingle every time we do the pod.
Are you going to do that every pick or just at the beginning?
No, just at the beginning. Okay. At the beginning.
You know what I'm getting into here.
See, this is complicated because I would love to play out a trade with Oakland right now, but I don't think you're going to do that, are you?
It's wild. Is that what you really think is going to happen? So we are at different schools of thought. I think they're just going to take Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray's going one, but he's going to Oakland. He's not going to Arizona.
Oh, that's crazy.
So for the sake of the predictiveness, I'll go ahead and put Kyler Murray in at one. How's that?
Okay.
Because I think he does go one. I just don't think it's to Arizona.
All right. Well, when we get to number four to Arizona, I would like to know who you would have Arizona then picking at number four instead of number one. So keep that in the back of your mind. So Kyler Murray is the number one pick in our predictive draft right now?
Yes. I just made the pick. The pick is in.
I'm up. San Francisco 49ers. This gets real easy for me. Nick Bosa, edge defender, Ohio State. They've got some horses in the middle there in terms of interior pressure. They've got nothing on the outside. Now they do have Dee Ford, which was a nice pickup, but I still don't think that takes them out of the discussion for Nick Bosa, who's the best edge rusher in the class. It allows Solomon Thomas to play a little bit more inside, maybe maximize what's in the tank there for Solomon, and obviously Armstead and Buckner are studs on the interior. So even though they made the big play for Dee Ford, I don't think they're done, and I don't think they can overlook Nick Bosa. And so that's who I'm going with for the 49ers, although I gave some consideration to DK Metcalf.
Oh, that'd have been fun, wouldn't it?
Went wild, but I'm being predictive. But I honestly think that that's who the 49ers will pick in this spot, in this situation.
Let my producer pull up the moves that the New York Jets have made. I don't want to have any misstatements here, right?
I like to talk about the moves that they didn't make.
That they did or did not make.
Didn't make, with Matt Paradis being a botched signing, as well as Anthony Barr. But I don't know how they didn't come out of that free agency. The Panthers gave Paradis 3 years, $27 million.
Right. Which like is you a pretty be modest come up deal. And, yeah, you got to be able to land more than that for a quality starting interior offensive lineman.
Right, and the Jets have Jonathan Harrison slated to be their center right now. Like, Brian Winters, like, that's too important of a position for the Jets to kind of go into the rest of the way here blindly with really no answer there.
You know,
young
what else
quarterback
is,
like Darnold, come on now.
Is a really important position that they need to take care of?
Punter.
Offensive tackle. They didn't sign an offensive tackle yet, have they?
No, they traded for Kelechi, and that's about it for their offensive line.
Yeah, thought they were going to be in play for Darrell Williams. Darrell Williams went back to Carolina. Prove it deal,
yeah.
Right? One-year deal?
Yeah.
We're going to go Juwan Taylor here. I think he's clearly the best offensive lineman when you account for the ceiling, the physical upside, checking all the boxes, really building out. Look, they went out and signed Le'Veon Bell, which is great, but now you got to have guys that can really move people at the line of scrimmage, and the Jets don't have those kinds of horses up front at offensive tackle, but they will with Juwan Taylor.
Do you think the free agency situation really impacts your choice here? Like, if they would have signed Paradis and Williams, what would you have done here? Would you have went Quinn in?
I think it probably turns into a little bit more of a BPA. Now, I don't think Taylor's a bad value at three, but I certainly think if they have less pressing needs, they still have Leonard Williams right now too.
Yeah.
You know, so like Leonard Williams still being around, like, I don't think Josh Allen's as good of a football player as either Quinnen Williams or Juwan Taylor, personally.
Yeah. So here we are, number four, the Raiders, but this is that you kind of tease this there here that you think that the Raiders are going to trade up to one and Arizona's going to be at four. So putting you back on the clock in that hypothetical scenario, who is Arizona taking it for?
I mean, the best player available is Quinnen Williams.
Right. Right.
I think whether it's Oakland or Arizona, you can make a really strong case that Quinnen Williams should be the pick.
Okay, so that's what you would do if it was Arizona at four. I'm up.
It's
and
what I,
have, I
would do.
Okay, I have Arizona. I have Oakland at number four here. This is my choice being predictive here. And I Quinnen Williams is no question the best player on the board. Now, with that said, they re-signed Jonathan Hankins. They like what they have in Maurice Hurst. They used a pretty high pick on P.J. Hall last year. Vanderdoes is coming back. And so while I think you are overlooking the best player to an extent here, right now, their edge rushers are like Josh Morrow and Arden Key, and we're going to have to do a little better than that to field a good defense. We know that good pass rushers are hard to find, right, John Gruden? So we're going to go with Josh Allen, the guy who ran circles around offensive tackles all last season in the SEC, and give the Oakland Raiders a true dynamic guy off the edge to give them some pass rush and help start to replace what they traded away in Khalil Mack. So I know Quinnen deserves to be picked already twice probably, but I'm going to go with them going with the more needy position and taking a slight drop off in terms of the quality of prospect.
So your final answer is who?
Josh Allen.
Man, I was just hoping you change your mind. I gave you the out and everything.
No. So the Quinnen slide is real right now.
The Quinnen slide is real right now. And now we're at Tampa at 5. You know what Tampa needs?
A lot.
A lot. They need defense. Do they need Quinnen Williams? What's the Gerald McCoy situation? McCoy's still on the roster for now.
Yep.
Oh, man. Devin White is such a popular pick here right now. Predictively. Can I justify letting Quinnen drop past 5?
What are you going to do? You going to go Devin? Like,
well, yeah, kind of. It feels like the...
What do you predict the Buccaneers are going to do? Would they pass on Quinnen for Devin White? You get to be Jason Lick. Like, is it Licht or Light? I don't know how to say it.
It's Jason Light. Jason Light.
Okay. Jason Light. Bruce Arians. Who are we taking, man?
Quinnen's too good. It's got to be a pipe dream that he makes it to 5. If he legit makes it to 5, you know, they've been on rocky footing with Gerald McCoy for, it seems like they've been hot and cold and whatnot, and I got to go Quinnen. I have to. Quinnen Williams is the pick.
Final answer,
Quinnen Williams.
All right. I get to be Dave Gettleman right now. What an honor. What a real treat this is at number 6, New York football Giants on the clock. I don't know if I like any of the hog mollies here in this spot for them. I can see him being a Rayshon Gary guy. I can see him going with Montez Sweat. And I think I'm going to narrow the discussion down to one of those two players. So if I'm Dave Gettleman, who am I going to take? Which one?
Just think about what you would naturally do and then do the opposite.
Well, I wouldn't consider either one of those players at this spot. So that makes it a pretty difficult choice.
Yikes! Okay. Dave!
Dave. Okay, he never drafted a first-round edge with Carolina. It took like Shaq Thompson's... I'm going Montez Sweat for the Giants. I think they're going to go with an edge rusher here at number 6. And I think he'll be a little bit more confident in Montez Sweat, who's not had the same injuries and inconsistency as much as we've seen from Gary. So me being predictive, that's what I'm going with.
Okay. I like it, Joe. I like that pick. So now the Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock at 7. Sheesh. Brought in Nick Foles. Paid Nick Foles how much? $88 million over 4 years?
Yeah, man.
So that's something that
nothing
exists.
Like what Mike Trout got, Kyle. Half billion, maybe.
Jeez, man. $430 million?
12
for
years?
12 years? Must be nice. Kyler, it's not too late, brother. It's not too late. To change your mind. The Jaguars. Draft Network lists the needs for the Jaguars as edge, offensive tackle, quarterback in a long-term situation, tight end, interior offensive line, wide receiver. Looking at the board, Rayshon Gary's out there. Could I see Rayshon Gary being a fit for the Jaguars with the way that they play defense up front?
Yeah. I did this in my last mock, man, in Duval.
You gave him Rayshon?
They wanted like, what is that when they used to cut people's head off in public?
Oh, the guillotine.
Yeah, that's what they put me through. They wanted that. Tar, they ordered
they
it.
They wanted tar and feather you, huh?
Yeah, man. As soon as I turned in that mock, and I ran it by Zach Goodall, who's Jags. Actually,
he hung you out to dry, brother.
No, I ran it by him. He said, it's terrible. You shouldn't do it. And then I did it anyways.
Whoops.
Gary's tough to slot, man. He really is when you really think about putting this thing together. It's
because, like, you know, some team out there is going to just really be enamored by the straight line speed for a player of his size.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be Jacksonville, though. I think they will take a straight line player with impressive speed for his size because I'm going to have him take DK Metcalf, Joe.
Yeah, I like it.
At number 8 or at number 7. DK Metcalf is the pick here. They got a lot of speed. They got a lot of small guys, right? Like Marquise Lee, D.D. Westbrook, Keelan Cole. Let's get a big guy here with some speed. possession guy, DK Metcalf, that can be the Alshon Jeffrey in this offense. Not saying that those are comparable players, but as far as the big body vertical receiving piece that Nick Foles had in Philadelphia with Alshon Jeffrey, he can now have an even more dynamic version of that in DK Metcalf.
All right, so the Detroit Lions are on the clock at number 8.
Hawk,
I get
hawk,
I get
hawk, hawk, hawk.
You think
hawk,
so?
Hawk, 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 hawk. No, I don't know. I'm just trying to pick you, pressure you into a bad pick.
No, you're not. That's not going to happen. So I think
greedy,
that the Lions
greedy,
have
a, greedy, greedy, no, this greedy, is, this greedy, is greedy, 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 greedy.
This is nonsense. The Lions have a lot of needs. Like tons of them, corner, tight end, edge.
Hawk and Greedy. I would argue edge is less of a need than what we have them listed at, personally.
Are you a big Romeo Okwara fan, or what do I need to know there? They're going to have Flowers in hand as their edge guys?
Yes.
And Robinson
that's
and Harrison
that's
on the inside?
That's exactly what they're going to do.
Yeah. They just paid $90 million. Okay, so I think the Devin White slide stops right now. And
whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think, I just don't think that he's going to get any further than this. And so I think that this changes the discussion for the Lions. I don't know that they're going to love Greedy because he doesn't tackle. So for me, we'll keep it on the LSU defense, but we'll go with Devin White. I think that you put him alongside Jared Davis, and you have a couple of really dynamic dudes there in the middle. I think Jared Davis needs to continue to improve. But right now, I'm not overly enamored with like Devin Kennard or Christian Jones as their other off-ball linebackers. So give me Davis and White there in the middle, and you have a really, really exciting second level. So I think this is just a product of him sliding, and I just don't think it can go any further.
We have to blame Quinnen. It's Quinnen's fault for the slide, because now Devin's available at 8 when he shouldn't have been no further than 5.
Well, then that really comes down to the Jets. I think the Jets really changed the entire tone of the first round, because if they go offensive line, which is reasonable, then that pushes those players down. If they go with Quinnen or if they go with Josh Allen, then it shifts the dynamics again. So the Jets are really the pivot point in the first round.
Joe, glad you brought that up. I have a comment here.
Okay.
Let me see. I gotta pull it up. Wrote an article for the Draft Network not too long ago. February 17th, authored by Kyle Krabs. The New York Jets are the 2019 NFL Draft's fulcrum. Uh-huh. The heck is a fulcrum? A thing that plays a central or a central role in activity, event, or situation.
Oh, wow. Kyle's cashing in receipts here on the Draft Dudes podcast.
Look at this, Joe. Over a month later, called my shot, said the Jets are the huge pivot point in the draft.
Really,
and here we are.
Stuff. Yeah.
A month later, and you unsolicited just plugged my article for me. So thank you.
Yeah, that was what I had in mind the whole time for sure.
Yeah, I know. No doubt. Buffalo Bills on the clock with the 9th overall selection. Joe, I need you to be honest with me.
Okay. I always am.
I'm looking at the needs for the Bills.
Yep.
Defensive line.
Yep.
Offensive tackle.
Somewhat, yep.
And I don't think wide receiver or corner is really that big of a pressing need right now, considering the names that they've brought in.
No, there's one more. One more big need, in my opinion.
Interior offensive line?
Mm-mm, nope.
Tight end?
Yes.
Do you think that's in play at 9?
I'm not quick to dismiss it. I think it's somewhat unlikely, but I'm not quick to dismiss tight end.
Do you think the Bills are going to be more prone to go with a prototype player in Christian Wilkins or the penetrating 3-tech as an undersized guy in Ed Oliver?
Brother, this is the debate of my head continuously. So I'm
so
anxious
you,
to
you
hear
don't,
your
you
thoughts,
don't have
Mr.
an answer
Bean?
For me. You don't have an answer for me.
I do have an answer in terms of what – wait, like – predictively or what I would do?
Predictively. I don't care what you would do. I'm saying do you have – because I know you've been on the Bills beat a little while now. You're doing Locked On Bills.
Yep.
You hung out with some Bills folks in Indianapolis. I'm asking you, do you have any vibe on if you feel they would swing this boat one way or the other?
I think they would swing it to Christian Wilkins.
And that's what I was leaning to personally myself.
Yeah.
bigger body, traditional build, a little bit more versatile than Ed. Ed's a good athlete, but I don't want Ed playing a one tech. I don't necessarily want Ed setting the edge against the run because of his lack of length. He is a, strictly speaking, a gap penetration interior defensive lineman all day long. I think Christian Wilkins gives you more. And looking at the way that the Bills have built out this roster, I feel like they would value that more. So Christian Wilkins will be my pick at 9.
You said something there that was interesting. Is Wilkins higher on your board than Oliver?
No.
Okay. All right.
No, I think Ed's impact at his role is enough for him to be a more highly graded player. But Christian, I think, gives you more and can be more for you if you want to be multiple up front.
Yeah, culture-wise and stuff, and you know, Bean and McDermott are going to eat him up. So I think that's a wise selection you made there. Hopefully I can do the same for you at 13. So I have the Broncos.
Lock.
At number 10.
Lock.
This is my new favorite part about being on the clock is your chance there. I don't think they're going to go with the quarterback. I believe, and I was fearful of this when they initially made that trade, that John Elway really believed that Joe Flacco was a quarterback that he can win with, and that if he can build things around him, he can really compete. And I don't think John Elway is going to ever like really initiate a rebuild like the Dolphins are doing right now or what the Bills embraced previously. So I think that this is about improving the roster around Joe Flacco, as crazy as that sounds. And I think that they can use
it. So dumb.
Well, look.
Because I don't disagree with you at all. I would see the lock pick coming a million miles away, but I don't disagree with you just listening to the kind of vibe out of there now that they've got Flacco in there.
It's too fun. And the Drew Lock stuff, like in January, was too funky. You know, I mean, like, he's just enamored with him. Like, what? In January, we're talking about like slam dunk picks to a team picking 10th at quarterback? Like, no, that never made sense to me. All right. So anyways, who am I picking? Going with Devin Bush here for the Broncos. I think they can use that real face of their defense. I know they have Von Miller and he's an outstanding player, but you know, I'm talking about that second level dude, the guy in the middle that is going to be the quarterback of the defense, the tone setter. And Devin Bush really, you know, has had a tremendous postseason here with an outstanding combine performance. And you even feel better about his tape after knowing how good he is as an athlete, because he's funny to gauge. Like, I never seen him play live, and there's a big benefit to seeing players live and in person. I've never seen Devin Bush play live, but when you watch him on tape, he's kind of a squatty dude. And, you know, gauging his athleticism at that size is kind of tough to do, you know, from watching all 22 or broadcast angles or anything like that. And so, you know, getting an appreciation for just how explosive he is, and then thinking about how that did show up on tape, and maybe it just didn't look the same because he's just kind of a compact guy. Man, I get excited about Bush, man. And so I think it's not that crazy to think about us having two top 10 backers, especially because the drop off to the next linebacker. Oh man, we might go 40 picks, 50 picks until another linebacker is worth being drafted.
So in summary, I'm predicting a trade up from Oakland to Arizona. You are not. I had the first pick. You are not willing to do a deal, so you tied my hands here. So for the sake of being predictive, I do think Kyler goes 1, which is how I justified slotting him at 1, even though I don't think it's to Arizona. But we put Arizona taking that pick, Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa 2 to San Francisco, Jawan Taylor 3 to the Jets, Josh Allen 4 to the Raiders or Cardinals, Quinnen Williams at 5 to the Bucks, Montez Sweat 6 to the Giants, DK Metcalf 7 to the Jaguars, Devin White 8 to the Lions, Christian Wilkins 9 to the Bills, Devin Bush 10 to the Denver Broncos.
Are we going 11 today, or are we just doing the top 10?
No, I just wanted to summarize. We'll go 11 through 20, and then we'll do the – I know we change our mind every time we do these on whether or not we're going to stick with 1 through 10 or go 1 through 11 and then 12 through 30 or 22 and then – but, yeah, let's do 1 through 10.
Ooh, any Bengals names, fans are furious.
Any names you're surprised at still on the board?
Surprised?
Rayshon Gary.
There's guys that shouldn't be on the board, but I'm not surprised. I think Gary's just – he's difficult to slot. I mean, I think some people might be surprised that Haskins has not been drafted, but even Charles Robinson, he said it today that like there could be many slides for Locke and Haskins. And so I think that kind of played itself out in this draft. And I mean, Brian Burns deserved to be picked
already, 5 picks ago.
Yeah. But here we are.
Yeah. I mean, I remember slotting Dwayne with my mock draft 6.0. Dwayne went 15 to Washington. And I remember a few folks were like, dude, what kind of crack are you smoking? You got Dwayne Haskins going 15. Slot the picks, man. Unless you get a trade up, slot the picks. It's going to be hard. And there's always going to be that desire to want to push and bubble quarterbacks up the board. But at some point, you got to take some of this elite defensive talent, which we saw in the middle of the top 10. With like Quinnen Williams in Tampa Bay.
So, do you wish that Washington was picking ahead of Miami?
Yeah, I would love if they did.
Yeah, because I think that I'm sweating it out already thinking about tomorrow and this Dolphins pick. I mean, it's a virtual lock. Where if you go Haskins at 11, which I would, don't spoil, I have no idea if that's what you're going to do. I'm in this situation where I have Dolphins at 13 with Drew Locke on the board having to wait.
You're the one picking for the Bengals tomorrow.
I understand that. I'm dealing with this in my head. Wait, I'm picking for, yeah, I get to control this discussion.
You get to pick for both because you got all three of those teams.
Yeah.
Because I'm not giving them to Green Bay or Atlanta.
No. So I'm going to have an isolated opportunity here to deal with this, but I will deal with it. I won't be thinking about that when I pick for the Bengals. It's just a challenge. Will Miami say, we got a chance to get a guy and take him at quarterback, or do they punt it? So I guess I have 24 hours to think about
that. I would leave you with this as we hang up today's call. I don't think they would play it that way because they stayed true to their board last year with Josh Rosen, where Arizona traded up to 10 in front of Miami, who was picking 11. To draft Josh Rosen, but every single report that came out said even if Rosen was on the board, they would have still taken Minkah Fitzpatrick.
So wouldn't you expect them to say that? To an extent, right? Like, really talk up the guy they got, like, hey, we did like Rosen, but we were never going to not take Minkah over him.
Well, they never said it in an official capacity.
Right.
It was like somebody had a source that said this. So I think it's more realistic that it's true, but Miami was also never tied to the Rosen conversation this offseason, despite me trying my best to kickstart them to do it, like kick the tires on Josh, please. But for what it's worth, I fully expect Miami to trade out of 13 and trade back. So
wild. Should be fun.
It's going to be crazy. But that is for another day tomorrow. So come back and see us. I'm Kyle Krabs at Grinding Tape, signing off with Joe Marino at The Joe Marino. We will continue this mock tomorrow with the next set of 10 picks.